Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. We've got Images of the Past later in the hour. Best-selling author Paul Greenberg is coming up soon for a conversation about the search for a sustainable seafood dinner as we preview Frontline's The Fish on My Plate. But first, broadcasting live from the SDPB studios in Vermilion, we've got Susan Hansen in our studio there with a special guest. Susie?
Hello, Lori. Thank you for letting me step in and bring you this cellist here from our studios at SDPB, cellist Marta Simicheva, who is a native of Bulgaria. She's given me the thumbs up because I pronounced her last name correctly. She is here at the University of South Dakota today as a guest artist. She's an assistant professor of cello at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville.
It's actually associate.
Associate. Okay. Associate professor. And she's also a member of the LeClaire Piano Trio and the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Marta, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here today.
And why don't we start by hearing you play a bit? Please tell us what you're going to play.
I'm going to play the opening of Prokofiev Cello Sonata, composed in 1954. And this is how it begins.
Let's get you a little closer to your mic, Marta.
Okay.
I know it's a bit tricky. We've got your cello there in between you and the mic.
It's fine.
So tell me why you are at USD today.
I am excited to present my 20th Century Cello program, and I'm really grateful for this opportunity to share this unique music. 20th century was a very turbulent time for humanity, with the two world wars, absolutely devastating effect on population of Europe and the world. So I wanted to highlight the importance of the cello and also to give the stories of each composer, how their compositions, their pieces were influenced either by political regimes or by some personal story. The 20th century was very interesting because it brought the cello to a new heights. Now the instrument became more soloistic. It was highlighted in bigger, better works, almost becoming as equal in solo importance as the violin. There were great cellists that were prominent in the 20th century, Mstislav Rostropovich, the Russian cellist, and the Hungarian-born Janos Starker, who spent a big part of his life in the United States and influenced a whole new cello school. Those two cellists really influenced the way composers wrote for the cello.
In what ways?
In everything became a lot more virtuosic. There were new techniques. Now the cello was brought out of its melodies. Now the cello can go and do faster passages, runs, pizzicatos, extended techniques, all of these cool things that in the 19th century, the cello was more in a romantic role. Now the cello is featured in a way that it can do it all.
It has its own voice.
It has its own voice completely. There were many solo works written for the instrument that were so highlighting the cello in a very virtuosic way, due to those artists that completely put the cello on a different map.
And what about Jacqueline Dupré too?
Jacqueline Dupré, of course, mm-hmm. She influenced hugely the way the cello was featured. The Jacqueline Dupré brought new works to life, but there were not that many works composed specifically for her. Those two cellos that I'm mentioning actually influenced composers to write new works and dedicated names like Benjamin Britten, Prokofiev, Sergei Prokofiev wrote specifically for Rostropovich because of his influence in the cello scene. Of course, Jacqueline Dupre is up there with them.
Mm-hmm. So are you working with any students while you're at USD today?
I'm not, because okay. It's a very busy time for both universities. My university has the finals week. USD also has its completion of the semester. So I am just excited to be able to share this program with everyone and be here, talk about it.
In learning about you, Marta, I noticed that both you and your guest here, your host rather, here at USD, Ioana Galou, you are both involved in the Eastern Music Festival in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yes, we are.
Now, is that how you two know each other?
Yes, we met there in 2004. We were newly hired faculty at the festival, and we, because of sharing the same background, Eastern European background, mm-hmm. and same ideas about music, we became friends instantaneously.
Okay. This festival stands out to me because some of the guest artists are some very famous people from the classical
yes.
world. Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg, Annie Kiko Myers, Midori, Awadajan Pratt, William Wolfram, Gerard Schwartz is the conductor,
yes.
a very well-known
yes.
conductor. Tell me what it's like to be a part of a fairly prestigious festival like this. It's an educational festival. Mm-hmm. It's like a camp in a lot of ways. So the students are obviously getting something out of it, but what are you all getting out of it?
We get energized because we see so many people excited to be there, ready to play great music, ready to take music to new horizons. The students are also very established as well. They play very well. They also are hungry for knowledge. And that energy translates into an incredible musical experience for everyone, not only for the faculty, but the students learn from us. We learn from all the great guest artists that are there. We learn, and we are fortunate to have Maestro Gerard Schwartz as our conductor. He is outstanding in everything. I mean, he's incredible, and it's a great learning experience overall. I mean, I cannot be happier being part of that.
And how long have you been a part of it?
I've been there since 2004, so quite a bit of big mm-hmm. chunk of my time. I spend summers
years.
There, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And still keep in touch with some of the students I've taught. They've done very well. Some have gone to graduate degrees, master's degrees, and have done very well with music.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you why the cello? How long have you been playing it, and why the cello?
I started at 7, so that's really a long time. I'm not going to tell you years because that's going to make me feel really old on radio. But it's basically I started because my godmother played the double bass, and she always wanted to play the cello. So she said, why don't we start her on the cello? And when you're a younger kid, you don't think too much about music. You think about, when am I going to go play outside? But it became a part of me and almost my secret voice to express and to tell stories and to entertain. So,
how old were you when you realized that that was what was happening?
It
was an extension of you.
Yeah, no, it took a little bit of time. Maybe in my teens, maybe 16, 17, when you actually start thinking about things and discover things. But it took a little bit of time because, you know, when you're a younger kid, you are entertained by the fact of playing an instrument, but it's not, you don't quite realize how much time and dedication it takes to be a musician.
The discipline.
It's a very demanding profession, or even playing an instrument is a very special thing. So all the students that are playing an instrument, or even those who are just taking lessons for common knowledge, it's shout out to the parents and to all the kids, because this is something very special. It takes really a special person and special dedication to even take lessons and to be involved in career like the music.
Mm-hmm. At what point did you know that you wanted this to be your career, performing, educating, that this was it for you?
The educating part came a little later, because when you're young, you're more ambitious and more vibrant and more, you think you can conquer the world. But the educating definitely came a little bit later at the beginning, actually, of my master's and my doctoral study when I discovered that, wow, I can really influence lives and I can make people sound better and make them discover things that they didn't think existed. So it was definitely a very kind of enlightening experience. Before that, I always thought I would be performing. But honestly, a combination of both is very satisfying.
Can I ask you about one performance in particular? Performing with Yo-Yo Ma.
With Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bobby McFerrin. Excuse me.
Yes,
the cello in front of me is making me think of Yo-Yo Ma.
No, Yo-Yo Ma actually produced a CD with Bobby McFerrin.
That's right.
That's what you're thinking.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yes, but you performed with Bobby McFerrin in Florida. Is that correct?
At Florida State. Yes, mm-hmm. Bobby McFerrin came to Florida State as part of benefit concert, and because my professor was out of town and I was the principal cellist of the University Symphony, I got the chance to play the solo with Bobby McFerrin. So it was extremely entertaining. He had a very unique approach to music, obviously very relaxed and very natural, very for the moment. And so we did Vivaldi Double Concerto for two cellos, and he sang the second cello, and I played the first cello part. And it was very exciting because it's just working alongside with him was very, very invigorating, very great musical experience.
That caliber of artist. And of course, for those of you who don't know Bobby McFerrin or his name is familiar, he's most widely known for the song Don't Worry, Be Happy. But that just scratches the surface of his work. He does a great deal of work in all genres and many classical things, as you mentioned, his project with the cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
Yeah, they had a couple of CDs with voice and cello.
Yes,
very
yes.
successful.
And I imagine you were a bit nervous, but you speak about the excitement. And by that time, you'd been performing so long, it was probably a real mix of
it was great. Uh-huh. It was great. I had a great memory from that concert. It was really a great experience.
I want to talk just a bit about your native country, Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. That's where you grew up. That's the educational system you went through up until your master's and doctorate.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
One of the things in researching about you a bit is that you find the difference between the U.S. education system and Bulgarian education system. There are differences there, and you comment on the friendliness of the students in the U.S. Can you just, let's scratch the surface of that a little bit. What are some of the things that strike you about the difference in the system you grew up in and the system that you now teach in?
The system that I grew up in is very kind of pointed towards music and performing and really dedicating your entire being to performance, and it's a very strictly and very narrowly specialized into the musical field. I graduated the School of Music, which was kind of like a talent school, and we did study other subjects, but music was given priority. So my math skills are not great, to say politely, and all of the other sciences were not so. I didn't study that much. We studied them until 9th or 10th grade, and then everything was very much pointed towards music, music history, music theory. So when you graduate a school of music like that, you're ready to take on a conservatory or a job.
Sure, you're prepared for that.
The downside of that is that not everyone from my classmates was able to take that path. Mm-hmm. And so they had to actually catch on the other skills, the subjects, the science, the arts, the things that we didn't quite focus on. And so they had to catch on that. From that point of view, I was ready to go into the conservatory and to take on master's and doctoral degrees later. But there were other people that were not able to follow through, or they decided to change professions. Mm-hmm. So what I really like about the educational system in the United States is the well-rounded education that the students get here. They're able to do music, they're able to do the science, art, and that's why it's so crucially important to continue maintaining music and those programs that are often discussed of being not important or are on the brink of being cut. That combination between sciences and arts is crucial for the well-roundedness and the preparedness of the students today. And I think it makes them better teachers. And it's a really great mix, and you're exposed to so many different things. There's so many opportunities. If you like the arts, you can go and visit exhibits. Mm-hmm. The art department is putting on a show. You can go and visit that. If you like to be engaged in ballet or dance, you can take dance classes. All of this kind of more broader approach to not only the arts but science as well.
Sure,
it's very, very important.
Well, Marta Simicheva, she's giving a concert tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Colton Recital Hall. That's in the Warren M. Lee Center for Fine Arts here at USD in Vermilion in its 20th Century Cello Music. Marta, so great to have you here. Let's have you play us out. What are you going to be playing for us?
I'm going to play just a short segment from the beginning of the Ligeti solo cello sonata.
This is Gheorghe Ligeti.
Gheorghe Ligeti.
Yes.
The sonata was composed in 1948 and then finished later in 1953. And it was for a classmate of Ligeti at the conservatory in Budapest that he fell in love, a cellist. And he was never able to confess. So this opening is very much like a dialogue in his mind of expressing kind of his feelings to this cellist that he never was able to tell he was in love with.
Okay. Marta Simicheva.
Segment at the beginning.
Well, thank you so much again, Marta Simicheva. She's performing tonight at USD at 7:30 p.m. That's a free concert. Thanks for coming to Vermilion. It sounds like it's a bit of a whirlwind trip, and it was a pleasure talking with you, and we toss it back to Lori now in Sioux Falls.
Thank you.